Welcome to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon, and I interview nonprofits and people doing worthwhile things here in the North State. Today, I'm going to interview on North State Give and Take the Brain Injury Coalition and two women that are involved and probably running it. Is that right?
Yes, I would
yes.
say.
Yeah. Yes. And that's yeah. Landa Bell Carson and Cindy Bell. And welcome to both of you. I'm kind of anxious to hear about this. I have some friends who've had some brain injuries and have been involved in the coalition, so I've heard about you but didn't know, you know, as much as I'm going to learn today. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us.
Sure. Okay, so either one of you, if you'd like to start a little bit about how long you've been doing it, you know, what it is you do and what is a brain injury?
Well, why don't we start with just how long this organization has been around. Informally, the organization started meeting as far back as 1990, actually. We did it because there was not an organization per se that, you know, took care of individuals who had brain injury. And there would be a funding stream for mental health or for intellectual disabilities, but not brain injury. So you might say that all the different agencies in the community had individuals that had sustained brain injuries, and there were issues that we would meet together and talk about. We continued to meet until 2004, when we actually became a nonprofit. And that's when our name became the Brain Injury Coalition. And the Brain Injury Coalition became about really trying to educate the community about brain injury. So we would do a conference each year, and we did that until, as I said, 2004, and then we began to try and provide more information and referral services. Actually, we have an office, and so it's just evolved over the years.
Did you, either of you have someone that had a brain injury? That's a lot of times how things get started.
I did. My daughter sustained a brain injury in 2006 in a boating accident. Uh-huh. And I, you know, like you say, so many people don't even know what a brain injury is. And I obviously did not know what a brain injury was, or even would have thought about a brain injury until Nikki had her accident. And so that's how I got connected with Landa, because she helped my daughter with her last class at Chico State. She had walked through graduation before she had her accident and then had one class to finish. And so Landa was amazing and helped her get through her last class. And then I got involved, uh-huh, like some parents do when your child has a brain injury. And so kind of learned along the way.
Uh-huh.
That Brain Injury Coalition has been a great help for us.
Sure.
With resource and referral. And I see how much Landa helps a lot of, I keep saying Landa because we are volunteers and she's here most of the time, and how much she's helped so many people, and how important it really is.
Sure. So a brain injury is, and, you know, I talk to my grandkids about it when we talk about helmets, how the brain is one of those things that has nowhere, if there's bleeding or swelling, there's no place to go. So anything that happens in that brain that's held in by the skull,
right,
starts to damage the brain, bleeds into it, swells into it, any of those things, or even gets rattled enough that brain has a serious concussion. So a stroke can do that. An accident can do that.
Well, absolutely. And the fact that, well, there's the acquired brain injury, just as you were describing, which would be the stroke, near drowning, another one. And then, of course, traumatic brain injury, when things happen because of a strike against or some object, some way that the brain has been hit. So that is a part, though, of the acquired brain injury. Mm-hmm. And I think that the amazing thing for so many people, you don't even have to lose consciousness to have a concussion. And there again, people don't recognize. So when we look at statistics, I mean, in reality, probably 1.8 million people a year sustain brain injuries. And yet, that's the injuries we know have been, they've gone to the hospital, they've been recorded some way. There's a statistic. But that doesn't near, I don't think, count for the number of people who have had a concussion but didn't even seek medical attention. Mm-hmm. Or even realize that they had a concussion.
Yeah.
So if we start thinking about that, it's probably more like, according to the Brain Injury Association of America or CDC, that probably 3.6 million people sustain a acquired brain injury, between the acquired brain injuries and traumatic brain injuries. And the leading cause of traumatic brain injuries are falls. So if you think about that, I mean, children, small children that sustain falls. The other population we have to identify is that those that are over 65 or 75, you know, it's those people who are older that do have falls. And then after that, assaults and the motor vehicle accidents.
Yes.
So, you know, this month, it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We know that probably 50% or more of those people who sustained, have been involved in domestic violence, have probably sustained a brain injury. But the focus many times, it might be the broken, you know, ribs or whatever. Yeah. And so they don't even address. But then you think about those who are serving that population of men and women, you may notice that they're having a hard time following through to even leave the person or the situation or to organize themselves to make the next step. And so there's been a lot of talk about, you know, having the two agencies or people that support people with brain injury and those that support individuals of domestic violence to really work together. You know, maybe more people can be helped because they'll be more successful if they address the issues that brain injury causes. Yeah.
And what it can cause. So this little part of the brain, it doesn't get the blood supply it needs for whatever reason.
Right.
And different things can manifest.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of what you've learned and what you let people understand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cognitive issues might be attention, concentration, social communication. We've been working with Chico State and the Communication Disorder Clinic on forming a group on social communication, for example, social skills, because many times people aren't even aware that they have issues, but they're missing social cues or understanding what people are trying to say. So that really will make a total difference in their lives.
And all levels of that, so many ways. I mean, you can hit your head really hard or you can just hit it a little. And so that probably is also, some of those symptoms are really dramatic and some are
not as dramatic.
And even depression has got to be a part of that.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the behavior change. Depression is probably, from a psychosocial or mental health, depression is probably the number one area or symptom that we see.
What I think about when you say that is one of our people came up with a quote that said, I may look the same to you, but I'm different from me.
Yes.
And it's so true, you know, and people don't really understand brain injury and what someone is dealing with. And, you know, when something first happens, everybody's there to help and wants to be their best friend. And then as time goes on, because they don't communicate the same way, they are the lack of self-awareness with social skills and other things that go along with that, they feel a lot of isolation because their friends are not one hang out in the same way. And life goes on anyway, you know, people, life goes on and people get married and go on with their lives. And of course, that's the way life is and it should be, but it's difficult for the people who have sustained these brain injuries and feeling like their life got derailed. And so this, as Landa was saying, this social skills group that we're doing with Chico State's Communication for Language and Disorder Clinic, although I think it's called something else now, but it's so important and it's something that needs to be done consistently for them to really be able to work on these things and pick up on these cues. And
so and it must be for the caregiver or the family members that are with the victims of it, of brain an injury, they have a whole lot of adjusting to do.
Yes. I mean, that's why we call it the caregiver connection, in that, you know, Cindy can talk with another family member because she's also had that lived experience. And we certainly have networked with Caregiver Resource Center because, you know, they are dealing with caregivers and that's a population they serve. And so we've, over many years, we've worked together to continue to educate the caregivers as well in terms of brain injury. And when people come to the coalition, for example, they used to come to our office a lot more than they do now. We do much more by Zoom, but we offer educational tip sheets on strategies because we have people call and talk about their vision has been impacted, their, like I said, attention, concentration, sleep, memory. And yes, many times right after brain injury, they've had the opportunity for rehabilitation. But as we know in healthcare, it's only just a short time compared to a lifelong after injury. So each person, there's no two brains alike. So each person might have something else, something different going on. And so we try to help to educate and then help find a resource for them here in the community.
We'll take a minute from our interview with Landa Bell Carson and Cindy Bell with the Brain Injury Coalition. You're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. This is North State Give and Take. Welcome back to our interview with Landa Bell Carson and Cindy Bell, talking about the Brain Injury Coalition here in Chico. Cindy's talking about her experience when her daughter received a brain injury.
For, at least for myself, speaking for my husband and I, when it first happened to our daughter, it's just wrapping your head around what just happened. So you have that adjustment period, and it's a long period, and that going through denial, thinking that, you know, okay, they can, she's going to survive now. Okay. So they're going to, they can fix this. They can fix what happened, and she will be the same, and not knowing what a brain injury is, thinking that everything's going to go back to normal. And then you start getting filled in by the doctors about what this is. And I remember for my husband and I, we were handed a, actually it was a beautiful kind of poem or article that someone wrote who had a child that I think was, had a handicap, and how, you know, you're pregnant, you plan this baby, and then things don't go the way you plan. And when we were handed this article, kind of like, this is going to be our new normal, we thought this, we were so upset, you know, this isn't our daughter. So we were still in that phase of trying to, you know, really understand what's going on and trying to hang on to what was. And then as time goes on and you are ready, you know, because you've been through part of this journey and you're ready to accept a little bit of reality. And then the second time I was handed this article, it really touched me. And I thought it was one of the most profound things I'd read. And so, yeah, this, okay, this is our life. This is the way it is, you know? And so then I started to reach out more for resources and help, you know, but at the beginning, we were in different places with Nikki's injury. And so the second place we were, and somebody had at the hospital when she had to have a hospital visit, handed me something, I think it was similar to what Brain Injury Coalition is, but not really, but something, some kind of a support group. And I thought, I can't even think about this right now, you know? So I think it's so just different for every individual when you're ready, like Land was saying, you know, sometimes you don't hear from them again, or sometimes people reach out earlier, and I think there might be a lot of different reasons. Some people don't want to be in this world, you know, with this. So they're, I don't have to join that because that's not me, you know? And so they go on and try to make it on their own. And yeah. You know, sometimes we'll hear from them again, and it's just a real variety.
I can see that. And so many different levels of disability.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
You know, it's interesting because still in terms of even definition of traumatic brain injury, they say that it's mild, moderate, and severe. And I remember talking with someone who sustained a mild brain injury. I think that that is just the worst term. And because, you know, what's happening to them in their life, it's not mild, it's very traumatic. And to have issues of sensitivity to light or to noise, I mean, all of those things can change a person's life forever in terms of the work that they do or being able to continue to do the work. And they may have been diagnosed with a mild traumatic brain injury. So that just doesn't cover it, you know?
And it's invisible injury as well.
Because
they may be dealing with all these things and someone looks at them like, what is the deal here? You know, because they
look the same and you want them to be the same.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But how many people contact you? How many people are you dealing with?
That's right. Well, that's a good question too, because like last week I had several calls, and these are new, you know, people to the community. And then I had one today. So the people that are on our, I would say our mailing list or our information list, there's over 100, maybe 120 people, but and that doesn't count for the calls that we may get that may be someone from somewhere else across California, because when they look on Google or whatever, they find Brain Injury Coalition. And so then we try to go to their area and identify a resource for them there. Traumatic brain injury that got the notoriety, I mean, or finally people started talking about it, was with the NFL concussions and that whole focus. And then with our veterans coming back after the IED explosions and the number of injuries that were occurring. And if you'll remember, you know, they were hush-hush about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now they're still not broadcasting it, but at the same time, they have put a lot of money and research into the study and to understand brain injury and certainly to compensate help people compensate for those injuries.
Do people mostly find you by word of mouth?
I would say word of mouth and also networking with agencies.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yes.
Yeah, because they look to us, I still think, for our support groups that we do. Once a month, we do an educational workshop. And we're doing those by Zoom. Okay. We used to meet once a month, and we would have topics related to brain injury. Sometimes it was different agencies in our community. Sometimes it was physicians or therapists. And we had this educational conference or a little mini workshop every month. And so now we're doing it by Zoom. Now, it's interesting. It seems sometimes we can reach more people because they don't have to travel to us. Yeah. But the other thing, there's a real challenge for some people to access us. We've also started a book club, which we've been going on 8 years or so. And what's great about them is that we have to recap and we have to remember and all those things, but But that's okay.
And they practice their reading skills.
That's right. Because we read out, we read out loud and do the book. So it's not that everybody reads the book, and but we read it together. So that's also been great.
Do you have an office somewhere? Did people come there?
Oh, yeah. When you we're in our office now. We're located 341 Broadway.
Waterman Brassler Building.
Yes.
Oh, the big, yeah. KCFR is in there as well.
Right. Recently, we started networking, or I would say in collaboration with Haley Music Therapy. We've started working with them and started a choir, and it's also on Zoom. Right now, they're continuing to meet, and it's the theme is music and mindfulness. Oh. So we just started that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So the monies that we raise goes to supporting those kinds of activities. We're not a paid staff, so we do use the money to maintain our office space and also to support materials that we might need in terms of the book club or tip sheets and all kinds of resources. And then also, when we access music therapy, we also help financially support that. So that's
and
that's
how do you raise money?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't been doing that very much lately. It's all donation. Yeah. And the last fundraiser we had was last fall, and we did it online. That worked out great. We also are a member of the North Valley Community Foundation.
Oh, in the past we've done a couple of Walk for Thoughts in Bidwell Park, and
we've done some
silent auction wine tasting fundraisers.
So we have done bigger ones.
We've done bigger ones, but yeah, like Landa said, last year we did everything online.
So. Sure, and people can donate if they go to your website. I'm sure.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And we do have a Facebook that we try and advertise the different educational workshops that we have, and just, you know, information about other organizations as well, or events. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's the website address?
The website address is
www.braininjurycoalition.info. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. People can go there and probably get a little more information. And another way, can people phone you? Is that one another way that people?
Yes.
And what is your phone number?
Our phone number is 530-342-3118.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we also have a text line if people like to text.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
And that is 530-433-9099. That's our Google text number. And our email is braininjury3118@att.net.
It's such an interesting topic because, like you said, it's hard to see and it's hard to know. And so it would be, if anyone out there has had any kind of an injury or think they have, or have a family member that has, just call and you can kind of direct them on some things.
Absolutely. You know, our hope is that, you know, individuals with brain injury are in our community and they're accepted and supported and integrated. And the reality is, like, if you think about every 9 seconds, I think, if someone's sustaining a brain injury, then, I mean, there's a lot of people out there. I know that every time, because we have brain injury in our title, I think sometimes people are going, oh my gosh, you know, that's just too much. But at the same time, I mean, that is the reality of it. And, you know, I know from working in the field, I worked in the field in brain injury rehab for many years. And I've also sustained 2 brain injuries. Wow. So I can tell you for sure, I know the inside perspective as well as being on the outside, you know, helping people, you know, network, and to also helping people to rehab their injury.
Yeah. you know, brain injury has a little stigma with it, which is another whole part of what is so good about this. Something that we can all maybe understand and not feel so strange about.
Absolutely.
You know, people are funny. Brain injury, you know, you get different feelings about it.
We even have a few participants that feel like that. You know, they might not want to participate because they look at the others and they go, oh, I'm not like that.
Yes.
You know, and
yes,
yeah, that lack of self-awareness that, yeah, you kind of are. Maybe not exactly, but
right.
Right. And it doesn't matter that you're not exactly. There's a lot of good things you can learn here. It's right. I hope people that are listening may be able to take advantage of it if they didn't know it was there. So anyway.
Yeah. If there are people that would like to be a part of the Brain Injury Coalition in terms of volunteering or in terms of being on our board, I think like many organizations during this COVID period of the last 2 years, we've lost people not to COVID, but we've lost people in terms of participation and even on the volunteer part to keep the organization going. So. Yeah.
And not just COVID, but with the campfire too.
Yeah,
because campfire. People moved other areas. So
yeah.
Lost participation for that as well.
So some volunteers would be great. But they can also find information, I'm sure, online about that or call. And a volunteer would maybe sit at the office and if you had an event, they'd participate, that kind of thing.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And just in terms of fundraising ideas, I mean, all of it. We are a working board. And so the reason the hours that we put in here are from the board meeting.
Yes. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you, Bobby, for having us.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, and I'm just happy to be able to, you know, let our listeners learn about some of these things. I mean, our community has so many amazing things that we know about, but it's always good to know more.
And, you know, one thing that we certainly have not talked about is that with regards to prevention, I mean, prevention is the only way we can cure brain injury. And that's the bottom line. We're trying to make people aware to be safe out there and wear helmets and not ignore if they're in their sport and something happens to tell someone about their injury, because that also happens. And, you know, prevention is the key.
Right. And also nowadays when you go to the doctor and you're older, they say, have you been falling?
Falling. Oh, right. Absolutely.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh my goodness. And that is, and because they know that injuries occur from fall.
Fall and you hit your head.
Absolutely.
A lot of places you can do that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, great.
Thank you.
Both of you so much.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Linda Bell Carson and Cindy Bell talking to me about the Brain Injury Coalition. You can get more information at www.braininjurycoalition.info. You've been listening to North State Give and Take. I'm Bobby Tryon. I interview nonprofits and people doing some things here in the North State. If you'd like to be on North State Give and Take, give me a call at 530-520-1593. Get the archive of any of my show by going to KZFR, going to programs, going to Tuesday, and going down to North State Give and Take. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive and come back next Tuesday at 6. Thanks. And thanks for listening to KZFR.org.